With you on the day of your resurrection, we, at the first day of the week, Lord, we can come to you, to enjoy you, to remember you, to remember by eating and drinking of you. So we give ourselves to you. Lord, want to turn our heart to you so that all the veils can be taken away. Lord, together we want to bind your enemy, bind all his tricks, bind all his distractions. Lord, we thank you. You are the victorious one.
Amen.
Lord, we have no trust in ourselves. Our trust is in you.
Amen.
We just give everything into your hand.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So on the service today, we still go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And why we want to repeat this verse again and again is because not only this verse shows us that we human beings are created by God. Why we are existing in the universe? Because our God created us. Not only our God created us, and also this verse also shows us that God created us with a definite purpose. Our God has the eternal purpose. And so this eternal purpose is what? This eternal purpose is mentioned here. So today we only cover a part of this eternal purpose. In other words, if we read Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, if we really get into this verse, then we realize that our God has a purpose. He is not a God without any purpose. But then this purpose is very rich. It is very important. And so mainly this purpose has two parts. The one part on the positive side, God wants to gain a corporate man for his corporate expression. We know that our God is the spirit, and none of us could use our physical eyes to see God, because God is the spirit. And therefore you have the in the book of John chapter 4 verse 24, it says, for all those who want to worship God, we need to worship what? Using our spirit. In other words, when we want to touch anything, see anything, we need to use the right organ. Just like if you want to listen to some music in this room. And then first you have to turn on, whether it's radio or TV, you need to turn it on. Not only you need to turn on, you have to use the right organ. Your right organ. In other words, if you close your ears and try to enjoy the music or the news, whatever, and you have to use the right organ. If you close your ears, you will not hear anything. Then you cannot say, I did not hear anything. It's not that there's no the music, the things here, is we did not use the right organ, and then you will not be able to hear. But then, if you want to see, and here, when I stand here, I can see all of you, because I have my eyes open. If I close my eyes, I cannot see any one of you. Why? I did not use the right organ. So we have to know that regardless what are the things you want to touch, you want to see or hear, whatever, we all need to use the right organ. And in the Bible, this principle is very clear. And so today, when we want to contact God, we also need to use the right organ. The right organ The Bible tells us very clearly, and the Lord Jesus himself told us very clearly that we have to use the right organ. And that is, we need to use our spirit, because God is spirit. And when you use your spirit, the deep most part of your being, then you will contact God. And if you don't want to use the deep part of your inside, that is your spirit, your human spirit, then if you use the right organ, then you will contact God. You will see God. You will hear God speaking. But if you don't use your spirit, your human spirit, then God can speak to you, but you will not be able to hear. So I think all of us have to be very clear about this. And so this time, we just just generally speaking, and God created us, and He created us because He has an eternal purpose, and this eternal purpose will be fulfilled through us. That's why God created us. But in the positive side, God wants to create us human beings according to or from or in God's in the Lord's in His in His what in His image, and also right now here, why I want to mention this, because the day before yesterday, Friday night, in Chinese-speaking sense, had a little bit argument, and someone said the image and likeness are two separate things. Another one said no, they are the same thing. And so I feel bad that they completely get into their mind, and so I quickly stopped them. I said, you cannot argue about it. So if you just keep arguing, so whether the image and whether it's two things or whether it's one thing, and so you're totally getting to your mind, so then you will not really contact the Lord. The more you talk about things this way, the more you get into the wrong organ. So I quickly try to stop them and hopefully to bring them back to the right organ. Then you will see whether it's image or whether it's likeness, it's still one thing. So you cannot make it two separate things. And so it's all Christ, whether it's image or whether it's likeness, it's still all Christ. And we have to see this. And so just come to Christ in our spirit. Enjoy Christ in our spirit. Then you will not have any problem. You will just have enjoyment. And if you get into your mind, is that two things or one thing, the more you try to argue this way, the more you will lose your enjoyment, right? So I hope we will not fall into Satan's trap. So this is what I want to mention this. And so on the positive side, God wants to gain a corporate man for His corporate expression. And then, in addition to this, there's another side. Another side is God also wants to gain this corporate man. This corporate man is nothing else but the church. And the church is the body of Christ. And so then, what God wants to do is to build up the church, to build up the body of Christ. And so then this corporate man will be God's expression. In other words, when people see the church, people see us, then they should be able not to see you or me, but they should see Christ from us, through us. So I hope that this is very clear what is God's eternal purpose. And his eternal purpose is to gain the corporate man for his corporate expression, and also to gain this corporate man for what? For the, here you have dominion. God wants to us dominion. And why? But then it says very, very clearly the dominion to do what? And this dominion means that God would give us the authority and to represent God. And then why God wants to use us? That is because God had an enemy. Then many people, especially the unbelievers, they often said, why God created a devil? God did not create a devil. God would never create a devil. And what God created is one of the angels. And not only God created a number of angels, God also created a number of you have the leader among the angels. So, archangels. Archangel means that so among many angels, that there are some angel is above the other angels, and so this is what you see in the Bible. And then, so God only created angels. But then, why God wanted to create angels? Would God know what might happen? Yes, God knows. But he still, what he wants is still many living things, not something dead without life. And so I mentioned this a number of times, that, you know, today in the United States, many couples could not have children, and but they wanted to have children. So then many couples, they either went to Russia or China or other places, tried to adopt some children, some babies. But then, in the beginning, I really thought all these parents, they knew once they adopted these babies, they actually adopted a lot of problems, right? And the first 1.5 years, and then the babies are really lovely, and the baby could smile to the father and the mother, and then the parents are so happy. But very soon, they will get to what?
Terrible too.
So when they get two years old, then they became what? They became very rebellious and very terrible. So that's why you have this phrase, the terrible too. And so, do you think all these parents did not know that they will have the terrible too? And they knew, but they still want to have some living babies or children. They still don't want to have this robots. According to today's technology, to create, to make some robots, it's very easy. So you can build a robot, and every morning came to you, say, Daddy and Mommy, I love you, and I listen to you, I obey you. Do you think today they cannot make this kind of robot? No, it's very easy to make this kind of robot. But no couple want to get a robot. And so they want to, what? They want to have some living people. And if this child can go to the parents, and out of his own free will to say to their parents, I love you. Oh, then the parents are really happy. And so even we human beings will not be satisfied with the robots and don't talk about God. Of course, God has no interest in robots at all. But then what God wants, he wants to build some living people. And he also gives the living, whether it's animals or human beings or angels, he wants to have someone living. And out of their free will to obey God, to love God, and to... So I think this should be very clear to all of us, right? Okay, so then here we come to... You can see there are two parts. This eternal purpose, the first half is to gain a corporate... expression. So God wants to use this people, and God wants to not we could imitate, never we could do that. But by eating the tree of life, in others receive the God's life, then and also God's nature into us to make us express God, and this is what God wants. And so then we have to see this. This is the first part. And second part is God wants to give this corporate man, the church, the what? That is what we cover today. Dominion. What is dominion? Dominion is the authority. So God gave the man what he created, and he gave man the dominion, the authority, and to represent God, had the authority to represent God. And therefore, here you can see man has a very important position in the universe. And so I hope you still remember this verse. And don't feel too bad. You know what I want to do next step, right? What? Let's all recite this verse again. I hope that you can all recite this verse in your dream. Then that will be quite close to what God wants. Okay, so what does that verse mean? Said, and they said, what? God said, let man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Okay. In this long sentence, what is the most important part? That the most important part was the last part. What did that last part say? Right. In other words, okay, God gave man the what? Dominion. God gave man what? God gave man authority, and to do what? To be over the fish of the sea and the bird of heaven and also the cattle and the whole earth. Then the last one is the creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So that is the most important part. God created man because God does not want to lower his position and to fight with the creature that he created. God don't want to do this. So God created another creature, that is us. We are God's creature. We are created by God. And God wants to use us to deal with another creature that That is Satan. That is the creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. But how do we know? Because right after that, in Genesis chapter 3, this creeping thing creeps in. So what is this creeping thing? He's the serpent. That serpent represents this Satan. And so then you could see that this serpent, and he hourly, seemingly, that he was quite smart. So then his smartness was what? Was terrible. Became his sin. You could see that based on what we read in Isaiah and also Ezekiel. You could see that, he was very beautiful and he was very smart, but smart in the wrong way. And so he became very proud. Once he became proud, then it became very dangerous. And I think we should not just rebuke Satan. We have to learn the lesson. We cannot be proud. If we are proud, that means you have already fall into Satan's trap. We all have to be very careful about these things. And so Satan became very proud. And then in his proudness, he wanted to be the same as God. God wanted us to be the same as him, but under his control, under his authority. So we have to see this. We can never become God. So on the surface, Satan did not say he wanted to be above God, because he knew in the whole universe only God is God. Only God is the supreme authority. So Satan only wanted to be equal to God. But just to be equal to God, that's already caused rebelling. So we have to be very careful about these things. And so then what happened is that when Eve talked to this, you could see how Satan is smart in a wrong way. And first, he asked men, that is Eve and Adam, to have question mark concerning God's word. Then he tried to then second thing is that he wanted the men or human beings to not only to question God's word and also to question God's heart. So he said to Adam and Eve that once you eat the tree of knowledge of good and evil, oh, you will be the same as God. That is equal to God. But then you can see why I want to say this. Even today, very often, Satan still uses the same scheme. The first thing is that he will ask you to question God's word. And then the second is he asks us to question God's love. Now today, I also saw a number of young people. When they graduate after high school, and so someone asked the Lord give him to go to the top university, and so to Harvard. And then I saw that some other people or even their parents said to them, don't worry, the Lord will answer your prayer and send you to Harvard. Okay. Then this young one just thought, the Lord promised me that when we pray and He will give it to us, wonderful. But then, after the when they openly show what who got into the harbor or who did not get into harbor, then I saw not only one, a number of cases like this, that they thought this young brother or a number of brothers, that they thought definitely they could get into harbor, but then eventually they did not get into harbor. Then Satan would do what? They say, oh, you see, your prayers, no, the Lord will not answer your prayer. And so then the young ones, why he answer other young ones' prayer, don't answer my prayer? Well, that's because God does not love you. Then, oh, if God does not love me, and I will not love him either, so goodbye. I really saw quite a few this kind of cases. And so that is the same scheme Satan is doing. And they did not know God did not allow him to go to Harvard. It's God's grace. It's his protection. Because I know a number of saints that when they were in high school, they were still very much loving the Lord. And I knew one brother that when he was in high school, he's a very good student. And then, you know, every year in the United States, each state will choose one top high school student, and they will receive this President's Award. And then, so I still remember that this brother, because every state will have one student to receive this glory. And so they had their picture to print it. And also underneath the picture, they would write some words. And that particular young brother, you know, what did he write? He write, "I am for the Lord's recovery." Then his parents said, "No one will understand what they are talking about." Then he put down, "I'm for Christ and the church." So that shows that when he was in high school, he was still very much loving the Lord. But unfortunately, that his parents went back to Taiwan. And because his uncle was here in the United States, so his parents thought that the uncle must well take care of his nephew. But evidently, the uncle did not take care of. So then, this young brother, the first year, the first term, still came to the meeting. The second term, because he chose psychology as his major. Don't chose psychology as your major because they will try to explain away all the spiritual experience. So never try to encourage people to study psychology. Okay. Then, but anyway, this young brother that then this first year, the second term, he stopped coming to the meeting. Then the third term, he denied his faith. He said he did not believe in Jesus anymore. So you could see that how Satan to attack us. And so I hope that all of us will see why the Lord did not allow this young one to go to Harvard. Because the Lord knows if this one getting to Harvard, he would deny his faith. And therefore, we should never question God's heart. God is always loving us. And so every time when Satan say, you see, the Lord loves other people, but the Lord does not love you. If anyone, whether it's the old one and the young one, whenever Satan said, you see, the Lord does not love you, then right away you should say, Satan, get behind me. So don't fall into fall into his trap. And so we have to be very clear about all these things. We don't want to read these verses just to know some doctrine. We have to apply this in our personal life, in our church life. So then, now we come to today is the dominion. Okay, today's dominion is that is give men the authority to deal with Satan. So this is if you really see this, then to be a Harvard student or not Harvard student really means nothing. Our position far more than Harvard student. It's not I don't like Harvard, but then actually once you know Brother Hank, he's the president of CRI, the Christian Research Institute, and he became our good friends. And so then once he talked to me, and in the beginning he talked to the coworkers only 2-3 times, then right away he knew all what we said, we preach according to the Bible. They are all scriptural. But then the thing that really touched him is that we, in the Lord's recovery, and so he saw that not only Brother Lee's ministry was scriptural, and also Brother Lee, he supplied life to us. And so then, why did he, because a few young ones, he met a brother, and he originally he had a very good job in Wall Street, and then he felt, he had a very good high pay job, but he felt it's very empty. So then he feel vanity of vanity, so he quit his good job, and then so he went to Harvard, and so then he met his brother Hank. Oh, then Hank said to him, "Oh, you also went to Harvard to study?" And that brother said, "No, I went to Harvard to teach." And when when Hank heard this, he was really, really very touched that he did not. He thought this young one was a student. Actually, he is Harvard's professor. But so then he saw that what we in the Lord's recovery, we just try to we forget about all those the American dream. And so our dream is heavenly dream. Our dream is the heaven. And so hopefully in this summer time, we will take this dream to our to our goal. And you also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you could see that we don't have time to get into it, but anyway, what the Lord wants to give us is Christ himself. And also, God wants Christ to be make his home in our heart. And this is the most important thing. You all know, in the Bible, there are four books. and form this, most of us all know this is the heart of the Bible, that is these four books, right? The first is what? The first is what? Galatians, right? The second is Ephesians. The third is Philippians. The fourth is what? Colossians. These four books form the heart of the Bible. And then, Brother Lee said this verse, let Christ make his home in our heart. This verse is the heart of the heart. Because if you don't see this verse, if you don't practice, if you don't really bring Christ or allow Christ to make his home in our heart, then all the other books means nothing. And so this verse, let Christ make his home in our heart. Why? When we say, we say this many times, that when we go to a hotel, we sometimes hotel is very expensive. You pay a high cost and stay in the hotel. But hotel is still not your home. Because hotel is not your home, you don't have authority to do anything with that hotel. If you don't like the color of the hotel's if you don't like the color of the this carpet, and then you say, oh, I pay a few hundred dollars for a night, then just take the carpet away and buy a new carpet put there. Can you do that? You cannot do that. Why? Because hotel is not your home. You don't have authority over this hotel. So what does that mean? We allow Christ to make his home in our heart. That means we give the Lord the authority to control our mind, emotion, and the will. Are you willing to let the Lord do this? If you don't, if you are not willing to allow God, allow the Lord to take his mind as your mind, his emotion as your emotion, and his will as your will, if you don't allow Christ to do this, that means you really, the Lord will never be satisfied with you. So this is what we need to see, okay? So then here, praise the Lord that we have this dominion. We have this authority. And again, we don't know. Okay, all the unbelievers, of course, they don't know. Even many Christians today also don't know. Today, you ask some Christians that really born again Christians, and do you know Genesis chapter 1, verse 26? Can you recite this? Can you tell me what is this verse talking about? I'm afraid many Christians cannot answer. They don't know. But Satan knows. He knows. That's why Satan is afraid of us. Don't be afraid of Satan. He is afraid of us. And so we have to see, in the universe, we have a very important position. That is what? That is to deal with the creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And don't think this is a small thing. This is an extremely important thing. And this is what we have to be clear about this. And so that's why we all have to see in this universe there's a war going on. This war is between Satan and God. And so now God does not want to fight this war directly because he's God. But God created us to deal with this creeping thing. And then you can see what kind of mission we have, how what kind of work that we have, the important mission to accomplish God's purpose. And so that's why we have to repeat this many times. We have to see that what today in this war, in the war between Satan and God, we have to see that we have to take a side. We cannot, this in this war, you cannot take zhongli, neutral. You cannot take the neutral position. I'm not following or standing with God, and I also am not standing with Satan. No, you have no choice. Either you stand with God or you stand with Satan, and there's no middle position. And we have to be clear about these things. And we all know Christ is coming back. And more and more you could see that Christ, we are really towards the end of this age. And this age is this age. It's not a Manelo, that 1,000 years kingdom age. Therefore, you can see, even though Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 said this, and let them have dominion over the fish and over the birds and over the creeping thing creepers upon the earth. And did this happen? This has not happened. Why? Because today we did not really were over the fish. Sharks still can eat men, right? So you can see that we have not, the kingdom age has not come yet. And I often say, not only shark eat men, even mosquito can bite you. Therefore, you can see that this age has not over yet. We are still fighting this battle. But then, if you read the Bible, then you can see that in the kingdom age, then don't say the mosquito cannot bite us. Even if there's a snake in the hole, then a baby could play at the entrance of the hole. If the serpent dare not to bait anybody. So that is the kingdom age. But we have not, the law has not come back yet. Therefore, today we still cannot enjoy all these kingdom age. Whatever we read in this Genesis chapter 1 verse 26, well, everything will fulfill in the kingdom age. So today we still have to suffer the mosquitoes, but then, of course, you can kill my mosquitoes. But sometimes the mosquitoes are very fast. So, so we have to see that we need to stand on God's side and to fight this war on God's side, and then the Lord will come back sooner. So that's why we often say, not only we need to wait for the Lord's coming, and also we need to not only wait for the Lord's coming, we also need to prepare for the Lord's coming. But then, more than that, we need to to make Christ come back sooner. In other words, actually, all of us, we were the corporate bride. So very often, many weddings would be late. And very often, when these weddings were late, not because the bridegroom did not come. Most likely it's the bride was not ready. Today the same thing with Christ. And you don't know how much he wanted to come back soon. And in the last chapter of the whole Bible, the chapter 22, three times the Lord said, "Behold, I come quickly." That is verse 7. Then verse 12 again, "Behold, I come quickly." And then the last verse, second to the last verse, is yes. Before what? I come quickly. But that's what the Lord said 1900 years ago. The Lord said has not come back. You can see or you can sense how much more Christ wants to prepare us. And so we all need to cooperate with the Lord. It is not you enjoy to do this or you want to do that, and then the bride will never be ready. Therefore, not only we need to wait for the Lord's coming back, not only we need to prepare for the Lord's coming back, and also we need to be those who hasten the Lord's coming back. I hope that we can see all these things. And so today I think I just repeated what we have said in the past, but so we today, because we are on this matter, the dominion, so I hope that we can understand why the Lord has given us the dominion and how should we use this dominion. And so I hope that all of us, not just you and also I myself, we have to see this kind of vision, and that we have to cooperate with the Lord. It's not just some doctrine, and you think you know, I think I know, but yet you don't practice or I don't practice. And so this was the last thing I said in the Memorial Weekend conference. But today I stop here, but I want to say this to all of you. That is, I'm very happy to see so many saints went to the Memorial Weekend Conference. Not only that, and there's so many saints from here went up to prophesy. And most of you have really prophesying. It is not just go up to say a few words. You know, many brothers and sisters very often just in the meeting stand up and try to say something, and then they think because they have said something in the meeting then you are prophesying. Oh no. We should be very clear. What is prophesying? Prophesying, first of all, is not speaking for yourself. It is not just to say something to express your opinion. No. We have to see that the real prophecy is what? It's supply life to people. So therefore, it is not for ourselves. Then how can we supply life to people? That is, we talk about Christ and also God and also the Spirit. And just like the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." This is what the Lord wants to do. And then, so whether we are really prophesying or not depends on whether you speak in the meeting, whether your speaking is that really supply life to people, or you just try to express some of your opinion. And sometimes, because your speaking does not supply life to people, or sometimes even spread death to people. So don't think because they say something that they are prophesying. No. But I thank the Lord this time in Philadelphia. most of the saints from here, your sharing is or was that really supply life to people. I really thank very much. Originally, I did not plan to say anything because I was very tired. And then, just because I saw so many New York saints went up to prophesy, and most of your prophecy really supply life. So eventually, that made me also went up. But originally, we did not, before the meeting, when the co-workers were fellowshipping, we had a common understanding that we hope more new ones and young ones came to speak. So that's why that was one of the reasons I did not go up sooner. And also another reason is I was very tired. But when I saw so many of you went up, I really thanked the Lord. Then I thought, oh, I cannot leave you there by yourself. So that's why I went up. And so then, so you know what I said, right, when you were there. And then after, you know, we only gave one sentence. So then after the meeting, I was in the elevator, and you know Brother Ron Kangas, right? He was also in the same elevator. Then he used very loud voice, said to me in the elevator, and he said, I wonder what will Benjamin say in one sentence. But then he said, oh, thank the Lord that you gave the best conclusion. Then afterwards, when I came out, Benson came to shake my hand, and he said, oh, thank you for giving us a good conclusion. So then I told them it's not me. Based on what my original feeling, I did not want to go up. It's you, brothers and sisters, encouragement, and so that I went up. And so I believe the Lord, it was the Lord's will that what I said. But may the Lord be merciful to us. So now I think now it's your, so Brother Ed will announce.